You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Welcome back from Labor Day weekend. Hi, my name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. And we want to thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. We're going to spend the next half hour with you talking about the Word of God, specifically right now about developing a life of praise. And, you know, when I was in retail management, they were telling us that whenever a person has not committed to buying something yet, it may not be rejection. It may just be that they don't understand all of the features and benefits that you are having to discuss with them. And so you give them more features and benefits. And so what we are doing right now is we're looking for biblical reasons that help us to understand how we can praise the Lord, why we can praise the Lord. You know, sometimes it's done in an individualistic manner. Sometimes it's done in a corporate manner. Sometimes it's done with song. Sometimes it's just done with a praising of the Lord statement. And so we're going to be in Psalm 9 today. We were in Psalm 7 yesterday, verse number 17. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. So if you missed that because you were on vacation, congratulations. You can go back to the WMIEFM.com webpage. You can look on demand, find September the 1st. You can listen to that program. You can download it or listen to it right then and there. But today we're going to be in Psalm chapter 9. Before you turn over there, I want to say thank you to the folks of Wyrick Air. Wyrick Air is based in Rockledge, Florida. Their phone number is 321-632-9538. They've been in Brevard County for decades and decades. They provide professional sales, service, and repairs. They repair air conditioning units. That's very popular this time of year. They also repair heating units. That all you need to do to repair your heat right now is to open up your window, generally speaking, and electrical issues they handle as well. They work in residential settings most of the time, but they do some light commercial work. They do provide emergency service when necessary, but their goal is to always strive to provide the best service possible and an affordable price. They want to make sure that you keep your cool during the heat, but they also want to run their business in a way that would be pleasing and honoring to God. Dennis pastors a church, a great church up in Geneva, which is in Central Florida, up off of State Road 46 on your way to the center part of the state. And they got a church there that loves Jesus, and they do a great job there. Fantastic pastors. And so I want you to know that it's not just a way to make money for them. It is used to further the kingdom of God. Wyrick Air, their license number, CAC 182-1309. And their phone number, once again, 321-632-9538. We thank them for being friends of the Refresh Radio program. So Psalm 9, verse number 1, this is a Psalm of David. It's got a note that says, to the chief musician, to the tune of Death of the Son. I found that interesting. Verse number 1 says, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Here, and we're going to We're going to move through these praise points, if you will, in a timely manner. There's some that we will talk about multiple verses on different programs. Some of them will do a concise bullet point thing and get through multiple verses here. In verse number 14 of chapter 9, you will also read another thing, verses 13 and 14. It says, "Have mercy on me, O Lord. Consider my trouble from those who hate me, you who lift me up from the gates of death, that I may tell of all your praise. In the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in your salvation." So there are multiple things to praise God for that David writes in this song. The first one he says is, "I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart." Interesting that when I looked up that word praise, it means to throw or to cast or to give thanks or to give praise. It is something that that means it's an intentional act. And I believe that we ought to be very intentional about praising God. And so a lot of times we praise God if we get a blessing, and if there's an answer to prayer. I mean, right now it's very easy for me to praise God because we've got ministry help that is coming to Merit Assembly of God. And so if you're looking for a church that is spread across a generational aspect of life, but it's small enough that you can know people and you can get involved and things like that, we're not a church that is trying to stay small. We are trying to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to as many people as possible. And our mission statement is we exist to be a blessing. We want to be a blessing to God, to be a blessing to our family, to be a blessing to the church, to be a blessing to the community, to be a blessing spiritually, relationally, and however we can be a blessing. That's what we try to do. So David writes here, and he says, I will praise you. And again, we talked on yesterday's program about it being a matter of will. And it says, "I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart." I want to talk to you just a minute because a lot of times we can begin to do things because of external motivation. In other words, there's a circumstance and it moves us. There may be a challenge from someone. There may be a prompt from the pastor who's preaching, who, when a truth is shared, he might say something like, "Praise the Lord." And that's not just a statement. It is not just a filler. Many, many years ago, I know it was between 25 and 30 years ago, I had a worship leader, and he would come in and he would say, "Praise the Lord." And one day he walked in and I just threw up my hands and I started praising the Lord. And he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, you said to praise the Lord. And so I've decided in my life that I'm going to use that as a command and as a prompt. And so whenever there's the statement, praise the Lord, I'm going to start doing that." And so every time someone said, "Praise the Lord," I was like, "Okay, time to stop, time to praise the Lord." And on yesterday's program, we talked about praising him for his name, the Lord, the name of the Lord Most High. That was Psalm 7:17. Here, there's a transition point that David has come to where it is no longer just about external motivation, but he says, "I'm going to praise you. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart." So there is praise because of the fact he's the Lord. He is worthy to be praised. But David, when discussing the process of how he was going to praise or to give thanks to the Lord or to bless his holy name, he said, I'm going to do it with my whole heart. There's some interesting things that are mentioned there. With my whole heart means I'm going to do it with everything that I've got. There's expressions that the world uses to describe people's efforts, and I'm not going to mention all of them, but sometimes people do half-hearted effort. They're making an effort, but they're really not all that into it. And if you are observant, you can tell when someone is not fully engaged in the process, and when they're not fully engaged in whatever it is that they are doing. They may be going through the motions physically, but their mind may be somewhere else. David writes, he says, when I'm going to praise the Lord, I've decided I'm going to praise the Lord, but I'm going to do it with my whole heart. I'm going to do it with the entirety of my being. Many times when we come to church, our intellect is involved, but there's nothing else that's really involved there. There's a statistic that I ran across years ago that said that people remember a fraction, a very small fraction, only maybe 10% of the things that they hear. I've heard another statistic that says they do slightly better with the things that they see, but it still doesn't reach to the point of a 50-50 break-even point. It's not, you know, the statistic I heard was something like 16% of the things that they see. But the more of your person that gets involved in the process, if you're involved intellectually and you're involved emotionally and you're involved spiritually, your retention rate of what has transpired there increases dramatically. So when you come to church, if you come to church and you are fully engaged in the worship experience, you're going to get way more out of the service than the person who is sitting there who is only externally motivated, and but they're not internally motivated, or maybe they're internally motivated but not fully motivated. So David here expresses that he is going to be involved with every aspect of his heart. And this is where this passage got interesting for me. The word that is translated in English, heart, can mean my innermost being. So it's David wasn't just saying, hey, I'm going to praise God because I'm externally commanded to, but because there was something on the inside. There was a desire that he had on the inside that said, I'm going to praise him. You think about this. This is to the tune, death of the son. That means that there is a time of mourning or something that has experienced. I don't know which son. I don't know if it was his son. I don't know if he was praising God here in this and said, I'm going to praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart, because of something that was being revealed to him prophetically about the Messiah. Because it doesn't say a son, it talks about the son. David had many sons. But whatever it was, there was something on the inside of David that says, this is compelling me to will to be fully involved from my innermost being in bringing praise to the Lord. It was something that was coming from his heart, but it was also coming from a position, and this is all from the Greek lexicon that I avail myself of to enhance my understanding of what those words really mean, that was doing this with a comprehension of the mind. In other words, David was not only driven by his innermost being, he was driven with the entirety of his being, and that involved his mind as well. So many times people have accused Christians of just having an emotional experience. I want you to know that there's nothing wrong with having an emotional experience with God. They're much better than having an emotional outburst in an ungodly way. But a believer's mind has been renewed to where it's supposed to function the way that God designed it to function, and that is that it brings spiritual strongholds into submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So old thought patterns, ungodly thought patterns, now are replaced with godly thought patterns. And so the more that we study to show ourselves workmen that are approved unto God, that need not be ashamed, then the more we are going to discover intellectually that there is reason to praise God. For far too long, ungodly people have claimed the intellectual high ground, and it's ground that they are not entitled to. You did not check your brain at the door when you became a Christian. Instead, what happened was God came into our heart and gave us a new way of thinking, a way of seeing the Word of God as the eternal Word of God. And there are many people out there who have very good answers to questions that unbelievers ask. But when you focus on God, I can tell you this. God is not afraid for us to know Him, to understand Him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is the beginning of knowledge. And along with that comes understanding. So when we understand who He is, all of a sudden it gives birth to godly knowledge inside of us that causes us to praise the Lord from an informed position, not an uninformed position. It also involves the will. We talked about that. We've talked about the heart. But it also, this word that is translated heart here, means that we praise Him with our soul, we praise Him with our affections. And so, to put that in perspective, because God loves me and I love God, I don't need anyone's permission to praise Him. In fact, I would say that in modern society, that people who love other people are far too conservative in their dispersing of words that would edify, build up, encourage, and compliment the person that they are in love with. So society is very quick to throw around critiques. There are personalities in the media that have become known for their ability to tear people down with their words. Believers should be involved with our words in such a way that we build one another up, and there is none more worthy of praise that comes from a place of intellectual and emotional honesty than God. Let's make sure that our relationship with God is not placed in the category of a disposable relationship, but instead make sure that we know that it is an essential and the most relationship that we have. Your relationship with other people will go better when your relationship with God is as good as we can make it. God's already done everything on his part to set us up for a successful and healthy and holy relationship with him. We just need to bring our thoughts into alignment with God and say, you know what, God, I'm going to live a life of praise for you. I will tell of all your marvelous works. Another aspect of that heart, it's the seat of the appetite. It's what we are passionate about. I pray that you are passionate about worshiping God. There's a saying that the world has that if you find something that you are passionate about doing, it will never be work for you. Well, I don't know if I can buy into that 100%, but I can tell you this, that if we are passionate about bringing praise to the Lord, he's going to fulfill his promise. He's going to come and be enthroned on those praises. So I pray that you aren't like that old song from years and decades ago, I shall not be moved. There's a lot of people that when it comes to praise and worship time, they're like, nope, had a bad week. I'm not praising him. Ain't nobody going to make me praise him. I'm just going to sit here. I'm going to occupy this seat until it's time for the sermon. But I pray instead that we will come to that place that said, you know what? I had a challenging week, but that week is history and God is still on the throne. And I'm going to praise him with all my heart and with all my soul. Verse number 13, Psalm 9. Have mercy on me, O Lord. Consider my trouble from those who hate me. You who lift me up from the gates of death, that I may tell of all your praise. So we can praise God for his mercy. God, his mercies are brand new every morning. The daughter who is coming to join us with her family as we strive to be better and more efficient at sharing the love of Jesus with people in Brevard County. There's some memory milestones that I have in my mind. And one of those, when it concerns her, was one Wednesday night, we were on our way home. She was in one vehicle. I was in another vehicle. The light turned green and she took off and she never saw that there was a person running the red light. And she was a fraction of a second away from meeting Jesus. The person wasn't just running the red light at the speed limit. They were going well above the speed limit. They hit the brakes, they swerved, and they missed her car. They actually ended up going into a parking lot because they lost control of their vehicle before they regained control and got back on the road. All of that to save a little bit of time. So whenever I think of all that God's done in their lives, I don't ever forget to thank him for the mercy. The things that didn't happen, the things that the enemy had planned, but God intervened. praise God today for his mercy. It is my opinion that when we get to heaven, we're going to find that God intervened in a merciful manner far more frequently than what we are aware of. Verse number 13, you who lift me up from the gates of death, that I may tell of all your praise. Had conversations with my siblings through the years, and at one point in time, almost every one of us, when we were very small, had an incident that occurred. They weren't any of them the same. They were all different. But something that could have been fatal to each and every one of us. Maybe you've never had an experience in your life where you got close to dying. There's a saying, you know, I was so sick I thought I was going to die, and then I was so sick I was afraid I wasn't going to. But I can tell you this, that God has been merciful. If you are, in fact, I am of this mindset, that the mercy of God is on display even in the lives of unbelievers, because the enemy would love nothing more than to take out any potential recipients of God's grace. God, in his great mercy, is keeping people alive because he doesn't want any to perish. He wants all to come to everlasting life. He wants as many people as will say yes to say yes. And so today I want to encourage you, as long as you've got breath in your lungs, praise the Lord. Hezekiah made this statement: it's not the dead who praise you, it's the living. And God miraculously healed him, raised him up from a situation that had been deemed terminal. And instead he healed him in such a way that it created international curiosity. Hezekiah didn't come through that situation with flying colors, but I can tell you this, if you are fully aware that God in his great mercy has not only spared us from death in this physical world, but because of the work of Jesus Christ, if you've said yes to his offer to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life, he has spared us from eternal separation from Christ, eternal separation from the life of God. I can tell you this, God has lifted us up from the gates of death. Let's not be short. Let's not be dismissive of the privilege of telling everybody about God and what he's done. Let's praise him. He is our life. Praise the Lord. Welcome back. Hope you have a great week. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@Hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Mm-hmm.